This week on the Droids, we're talking about the Rising Storm being launched. The High Republic continues. Oh, we've got to finish up The Light of the Jedi. That, the episode, all going to be part of this one. Three Daytime Emmys, also nominated for the Clone Wars. We're going to get into all of it and oh so much more this week on the Droids. Welcome back to the Droid You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Guys, I'm a little self-conscious. I've got Chris and Ryan here. That wasn't a great opening.
Now listen, I don't want to use the term word salad, but there things were in different orders. But I think it's interesting.
Should we restart?
No.
Should we just restart?
No. We absolutely should not. We're too far in it now.
Also, I was thinking, why don't we pre-record the sound effect?
It's part of our thing, though.
Yeah.
I mean, again, to use your term, it's a peek behind the sausage, but we record it live every time.
That's true.
So, Mike, don't be self-conscious. It's fine. I think it all made sense. The Daytime Emmys were nominated for the Clone Wars.
For the Rising Storm, right?
And the
High Republic, we do have to finish that up, and at the end of this episode, I'm sure we will have. But I don't be self-conscious.
I see what you're doing there.
I'm trying to divert it for him.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Chris, I'm worried about
Mike.
Did you hear that intro he did?
My God.
I'm glad we made this separate channel.
We're going to be getting emails from, like, it'll be like that news reporter that had word salad and everybody wrote in.
Now I really want to do it again.
No!
It's too late.
You can't. I edit the podcast. I'm putting this in.
But now we're going to have two intros.
Well, now we're off and running, just like we always are on the Droids.
That's right.
There we go.
It's such a pleasure to have everybody with us. And, you know,
there was... Where's Sam?
Yeah.
Where is Sam?
Where is Sam? We need any Sam.
Any Sam would be nice. And also, I mean, don't worry. This is the content that people pay for. Thank you again for being a Patreon listener, unlocking this bonus episode.
That's right.
Of the pod.
Wait, a lot of bonus content.
Wait a second. This is not?
Well, yeah. The Patreon's been down, so just send checks to Droidheads care of lucasfilm.com.
No, don't do that. We don't have that email address. How we doing?
I mean, let's be honest. There's not a lot going on in Star Wars land right now.
There is a lot for those who are watching and up to date on The Bad Batch.
Which is, by the way, phenomenal.
We are a dreadful podcast in that respect.
Who here has been watching it?
I've been waiting until it's all. I'm going to binge it at the end, which I know is a cop out. It's an interesting thing you said, Mike, about how we're an abysmal podcast. Because I think. That we're doubling.
I said dreadful, but
yeah,
sure.
That is an interesting.
We're doubling as a Star Wars podcast and somewhat of a lifestyle podcast because we're showing everybody everything.
Yeah,
listen,
this is our branding.
We love Star Wars. We have a Star Wars podcast. Sometimes life gets in the way of ingesting all of the content needed to have a Star Wars podcast. Will that stop us from recording a podcast? No, because
not at all.
Are we over 200 episodes at this
almost.
Point?
Not yet. We're getting
there. We're almost 200 episodes into this thing. If you're still listening, hopefully you're not just here for the Star Wars. You're here for the Droidheads. and this we're showing you the truth. Sometimes we're a little behind, but we still want to talk to our buddies. We still want to talk to the people. We want to provide content.
If our podcast at least puts a smile on your face or at least makes you press the play button on your iPhone, then we're doing our job.
If our podcast saves one life, it will have been worth it.
That's all we wanted. That's it.
I'd have to say it has, right? Because somebody might have gone out on the street when, you know, they're listening to this podcast, kept them from accidentally walking in front of traffic.
That's exactly right. There's no way to prove this, but I know for a fact that at one point someone stopped to press play on the podcast, and had they not, something terrible would have happened.
Exactly. They went to hit stop on the podcast because they were like, what is this?
They looked at their phone and said, is this still a podcast?
Oh, this
and
is
that
a
prevented.
Mistake.
That's
yeah,
when
I didn't
the terrible thing would have happened.
I was looking for tips on my Android phone. This is not what I was looking for at all.
You're saying this is not the droid they were looking for?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Oh, well, anyhow, thanks for listening. That'll do it. we do have a few. We have built some catchphrases over the year.
Haven't we?
Well, I like it.
If we're going to start making t-shirts, I think this is the time. We're really at our peak. We're only on the way up. And so to get your t-shirt now, email us at droidspot@gmail.com.
Well, as they say about the droid heads, there's nowhere to go but up. So the Clone Wars nominations came out, and a few daytime Emmys got nominated for the Clone Wars.
Yes.
Which is exciting. As you know, I've been very effusive in my praise for the final season of the Clone Wars. I think it's very well deserved.
Yep.
I think it should win everything. I think it should have been nominated for primetime Emmys in the drama category.
I agree.
I've gone on record as saying that the last four episodes of the Clone Wars series is one of my favorite Star Wars movies ever.
Wow.
Wow.
And that was right after you watched it.
I watched it again last week.
Wow.
Just to watch it. Yes, could I have been watching The Bad Batch? Yes. But I watched it, and my wife Nicole, for any of you who are new to the podcast, every podcast is someone's first. My wife Nicole is a popular character here on the show, and maybe a real character in life, we don't know, but she had to listen to me go, you know, a lot of times be like, you know what's brilliant about this show, and then say something very obvious.
The animation.
I'm pretty sure every single partner of someone on this podcast hears that exact sentence anytime we're watching anything. As long as it's good.
Well, they have to hear. If we're watching The Rise of Skywalker, they have to hear. You know what the problem with this movie is?
Exactly.
So I
actually,
think that's
those asteroids are potatoes.
I think I say, hey, Nicole, somehow Palpatine has returned.
It's a daily occurrence.
And somehow Jay Leno got back to hosting The Tonight Show for a small period of time.
Chris and I went down this rabbit hole because it was the end of the Conan show on TBS. We went down this rabbit hole of like, I think we're both a little obsessed with the late night war.
Oh, yeah. It's
I mean,
Star Wars. You throw the word war on it, I'm in. Star Wars, late night wars, give it to me. Yeah,
I do want to dive into that, but I do want to mention it because I think we'll probably pretty much be done with the Emmy conversation.
Sure.
The three Emmy awards are for Outstanding Writing Team, for Outstanding Music Direction and Composition, and Outstanding Sound Mixing. I'm sure the music is fantastic. I'm sure the sound mixing, and I would never discount sound mixing within Star Wars.
No.
But I think if anything, you know, even though I have not watched the final season and I'm far behind, and yes, I did binge all of season one of Hacks last week, but I could not get this spouse on board to watch the Clone Wars with me.
A little hard.
So, you know, that's how it goes in this household.
We're showing you everything.
It's next
exactly.
level.
Exactly. But
that's, I mean, that's yeah.
I would say I'm probably most invested in the writing team winning.
I do think I 100% agree. I think the music, though, even on The Bad Batch, as you're listening to it, they do a very good job, and they do a very good job with the writing, too, to make nods to the movies or, like, set up scenes that are familiar yet new. And I think the music does that. I think the writing does that. Sure, I'll throw sound effects in that. I think they do that all very elegantly, and they also progress Star Wars a little bit, but then they also give a little nod to the fine-tuning of the past. So I think those are three worthy categories.
They cracked. All right,
back to the late night wars.
But anyhow, so Jay Leno was like, I want my show back. NBC's looking at the ratings. They said, well, what about 11:30? And Jay Leno's like, yeah, I can do 11:30. And then so he goes back to 11:30. And then they ask Conan to go to 12. And Conan says, am I still hosting The Tonight Show? And they all said yes. And he goes, I'm fine with that. That didn't last.
It didn't.
It was sad.
If you have a few hours, watch. You can go on YouTube and watch David Letterman talking about all of this in real time, and it's a delight.
It really is. Also, do you ever watch the movie Late Show Wars? Or it's called The Late Shift.
The one where who is it? John Michael Higgins plays Letterman, right?
I think so. Yeah, it's on HBO.
Is it?
Yeah, I've watched part of it.
Is Noah Wyle in that?
I think he is.
He may
I think Kathy Bates is in it, too.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
It's pretty wild.
It's one of those movies. It's like, you know those, like, Jay Roach movies that he made for HBO, like Game Change, and like where it's just, like, a lot of prosthetics and impressions?
Yeah.
Yes.
And everybody trying to win, speaking of which, Emmys. It's very much like that, where you're like, this almost isn't a movie, but everybody's trying real hard to win an award.
And they're, like, essentially just telling you a story that you read in the newspaper. So you're very familiar with all of the details. You just want to see them acted out.
And you just, and it's just made so people say, oh my God, they look just like them.
Yeah, and then that becomes the definitive telling of the story.
That's right. That's why every podcast is talking about The Late Shift.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Maybe we can cut that out and put it on the Patreon.
Listen, that's value added, right? You didn't know about it.
Let's cut that out. Hey, sometimes we start this thing and we don't know how we're going to finish it, and gold happens.
Every week.
What do they say? Was it gold under pressure? When's diamonds. That's diamonds.
When's the time that we know how it's going to end?
It's like when one of us takes a phone call while this is going on.
So here's a question for you, though. Yeah. As we're all going back and reminiscing about Conan and great Conan sketches and throughout the years, and there's been some incredible, and this was Triumph, so Conan's show, but it wasn't Conan. How do we look back on Triumph insulting all the fans lining up for Star Wars? I rewatched one of the sketches this past week. Chris, I'm curious what you think.
I was just going to say, I think Conan, to bring it back to Star Wars, which we rightfully should, Conan has some of the preeminent and best Star Wars bits of all time. Like
they have Jordan Schlansky's Millennium Falcon, Lego Falcon.
Yes. Without a doubt.
Yes, the triumph in the line for the Phantom Menace, right?
I think it was Attack of the Clones. I just watched it, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's one of the greatest bits of all time. I think it pokes fun at fandom. I have to believe that everyone on Conan's staff is also a fan, as much of. I think they hit they were the right generation to make fun of it. I think previous generations of late show hosts weren't really making fun of it, and it was cool as a young person to see that happening. To be like, hey, like these people are me. Like we're making fun of the same stuff.
Well, and also it sometimes was mean-spirited with Triumph, but I also felt like most of the time everybody was in on the joke and having fun with it.
Yes.
It didn't feel completely, degrading to those who were.
Sure.
They were just trying to take them down for the fact of the easy joke.
Yes.
Conan was always willing. Now it's a Conan podcast. Conan was always willing to make himself the biggest joke.
Yes.
Which is that's not something Leno would do.
Right.
Leno would never be like, I am the butt of the joke.
Exactly.
But that's why
mostly
when Triumph... Mostly
because, Leno's terrible. Like, just the worst. I just terrible.
Yes.
I'm sorry for all the Leno heads out there, but, I just don't understand how he was beating Letterman in the ratings forever. I don't get it. It's like...
Well, you have to remember that people are a broad audience. They don't really think about it. As much as there's this huge passion for Conan, huge passion for Letterman, most people put something on TV and didn't care.
I think going back to the I feel like you said, it's a very broad audience, so he's going to hit the largest swath. That means there's lots of little details and lots of groups of people that are interested in lots of things like Star Wars. That's why Conan was great, because he was picking up the comedy for everyone else. Like, he's picking up, who else would go to a line of a Star Wars thing and just, rip on people for being in the line? But obviously, the guy has a puppet dog with a cigar. He's as big a loser as, not saying anyone's a loser, but, just, you know what I mean? He's one of them. Sure, he's making fun of people, sure, all that, but, he's one of us.
You know what I heard Andy Samberg say about his style of comedy once, which is kind of weird because he's so popular, but he was talking about how some of his stuff was really weird, and he said how he tried to get really specific, and he was like, if it's not something that everyone will think it's a cool thing, but a few people it'll be their favorite thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, that's kind of where Conan landed, which is obviously he was very popular, but it's the people who liked him loved him.
Yes.
And it's the people who didn't like him were like, whatever, he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah, he's funny, he's fine. Was that the bit when the Gandalf wizard came in?
Yes.
Yes. And he's eating an Egg McMuffin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, Wow, no, this has really devolved into like, have you ever seen that Family Guy wear?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's, hey, look, this is topical, relevant to Star Wars.
I agree.
And a lot of people, there's a crossover.
I agree, guys.
Yes.
I'll talk to you all day about anything and we can record it. Like, whatever.
And I didn't mean, I did not mean to say anyone waiting in line for Attack of the Clones is a loser because I was in that line. So,
weren't we all?
I'd call us all.
Was there a line?
Yeah.
If you were in New York, I think.
Yeah.
I was kind of
like if you wanted to go and see it. If you wanted to see it at the Man's Chinese Theater, right? If you were,
yeah,
I did fly out to LA for it. Now
it's
I remember.
True, Georgia.
Now that you think about it,
but some of the best Star Wars bits of all time, and that was always a delight during Star Wars season of May, and then recently December of seeing who's going to be on Conan, seeing how they'll pull bits. I remember as a kid, like anytime they would talk about Star Wars on another show, I'd be like, "This is my favorite show." It'd be like Law and Order mentioned Star Wars in the in the preview, and I'd be like, "Mom, I got to watch this whole episode."
Chris, I think you and I are of a like mind. If it was on, I was watching it. If I had to tune in, or if they were doing that like 30-minute a retrospective on the making of Star Wars.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Oh my god!
You know, they put
remember
on
that VH1 thing when Star Wars ruled the world or whatever?
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Or like
it wasn't even
that
like
70,
that great, but it was like anything.
That 70s show was like, oh, like in the preview, it was like Star Wars. Eric Foreman's Luke Skywalker. I'm like, I have to watch this whole episode.
Yeah. There's always like an episode where the lead. Lady has like the Leia buns and there's always a
But like if they're like, well, this is The Economist about Star Wars, I'm like, I'm eight and I'm buying The Economist because I need
you're reading
Dad,
the article.
Can you get the new issue of Wired magazine for me?
Weird.
I will invest in fruit.
Weird.
All
right. Let's for the one time I'll try to get us back on track. News that we didn't tease at the beginning.
Yeah.
More from Leslie Headland about The Acolyte. She is inspired by The Phantom Menace. That is a big part of what is going to inspire The Acolyte. And part of that is that she looked at where the Jedi Order was in The Phantom Menace. And obviously we're learning about them in the High Republic right now. Mm-hmm. But she was curious about how they got to that point and wants to explore more of that pre-stage before their fall in The Phantom Menace. Well, in the original prequel trilogy.
Wow.
You know, as we move on, people legitimize the prequels more and more. And you know what? We're at a point, and I'm not going to complain about it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to complain about it where it's like, oh, everybody hitch their wagon now. It's cool that it's happening.
Yeah.
She said that, and like, I'd say most people are like, cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, people are not trying to push the prequels away anymore, and that's, you know, and that's good to me.
Well, you've convinced us, Ryan, and if there's anything that you can take home and hang
it's my
your
great
cat hat
it's my
on,
greatest achievement.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm thrilled. It makes me a lot happier as a Star Wars fan, I have to admit.
I'm glad I could enrich everyone's life like that.
I love it. Well, honestly.
That's your job.
I got those tattoos on my face now.
Are they the Darth Maul tattoos, or is it Jar Jar's ears that come around the side of your face?
Jar Jar's ears, yeah. That's why I always have this beard. that's interesting. I think that's a good sign. I mean, I think it's acknowledging a big part of Star Wars that I think that's being picked up in the Clone Wars too. I'm watching Bad Batch because I am watching it currently. I won't give any spoilers to my co-host here, but watching it, it is enriched by the Clone Wars 100%. I mean, it's obviously it's a continuation of the Clone Wars, but it really is adding a layer to the Clone Wars that I did not believe it had existed before. Like they're taking it to the next level, but now they're already like four levels in. Like you could watch Bad Batch, I think, and be confused if you didn't know Clone Wars stuff, and I think that's cool. But you could also watch it for like face value. You get the story well, but like if you have watched the whole way, I think it is really rewarding at this point now.
They keep consistently doing that where you're like surely they've closed this loop. Like it's like we found out everything we know about this thing or this character or whatever, and then they keep not just like bringing it back, they keep enriching it, which is so impressive.
I admittedly I was kind of bummed that we were going back to that realm, and now I'm like, oh man, this is awesome.
Yeah, like every time I'm shocked by every time that a piece of Star Wars media like revisits Order 66, I'm always like, this added so much to it.
Yeah.
Like, it's you'd think it would be, like, a trope at this point where it's like, oh, geez, Order 66 again. But, like, every time I think it's fascinating.
Yes.
Fallen
like,
Order?
How could it not
did
be?
Like
it's, like the, it's the quintessential event in
didn't
the
you do
universe.
Something with Fallen Order?
Yes, you might have done something.
I'm unfamiliar. Fallen Order. What is that?
Watch Did Ryan's you like the through. Easter egg though in Fallen Order of Order 66?
I mean, it was hardly an Easter egg. It was a huge plot point.
No, no, but I'm saying that you could find the message from Palpatine.
Cool about that is that the Order 66 message has now been animated in like so many different ways.
You know what my first Star Wars NFT will be? It'll be of Order 66. Because
wow, there you go.
That's what I want.
Wow.
They should make that. They should absolutely make that. Think about when we're all living in our virtual worlds and there you are.
I need
are
an NFT of the thing that showed on Fortnite.
Oh, you mean Tenet?
Yes, a Palpatine on Fortnite.
Oh.
Yeah. The prequel, the episode 8.5 featured on Fortnite.
Why don't I
Fortnite?
Understand what's going on? I was in the theater and I said, I don't understand what's going on. And some guy said, shh, it was on Fortnite.
Yeah. They said, get out your phone. You could play on your phone. Play Fortnite while you're waiting.
You won't miss anything
in
the movie.
What do you mean
I'm
waiting? Waiting for what? The scene to be
over?
We'll
pause the movie. You couldn't do that. That movie's moving so fast.
Palpatine return. Now I get it. That makes sense.
Somehow, Palpatine is returned.
That is honestly, they have to turn that into a new nuke the fridge kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of the dumbest possible
writing convention.
That's kind
of the new, like, sand gets everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it's not even just a Star Wars bad joke or bad piece of writing. Like, it should be part of an iconic list of, oh, you jump the shark, well, you know what, your Palpatine somehow returned.
You
Palpatine somehow returned should be the new they fly now.
You clone the Palpatine. Now we're digressing.
We're digressing. All right, so we get back to other news, and I'm actually excited about this, and I wish there was some concrete news about this moving forward. Emilia Clarke would love to come back to play Kira again from Solo, A Star Wars Story, the underrated, underappreciated, much live by this podcast host, Star Wars side story. She says that Kira is the one character she has with the most unfinished business. I really had pages about what her life was and what it would be afterwards, but I'm afraid I've heard nothing of Disney Plus being the case of moving forward, so maybe I'll just write it and send it to them. I'll be like, hey guys, I've got a few ideas.
You know what she's doing? She's lying. She's already
she's in Lando.
No, I mean she's been cast. They have to be filming it.
If anything she'd be doing Lando. She's not doing
who knows. This is what Ewan McGregor lied to our faces. He said something very similar. If they had
I mean. She's lying about being in the Lando series.
I don't know. Maybe it's Solo too.
I just can't imagine they'd do Solo
this
too.
Is a classic reaction. Chris hot and fresh.
Yeah.
We've missed those hot and freshes.
Hot and fresh. I was walking by the garbage can and I saw something in there that said hot and fresh. It was a pizza. That must have been where I got it from. It was fine. It was okay. A little cold. Not today. But I think she's lying. I think she's cast in something, whether it's Lando or Solo 2. Either one, I'd be happy to see her back and in a writing role.
I mean, their reaction to Solo 2 was to change everything that they were doing, or to Solo, not to Solo 2. And to me, if they're going to let one movie that performed well but not very well with a poor marketing plan releasing 6 months after another Star Wars movie, they're not going to bring back Solo. They're just not going to do it.
I mean, it already has a marketing plan, and they haven't spent a dollar.
Yeah, you're right. The fans are out there.
It's true.
I mean, they're targeting us. I don't know
exactly.
But.
What if it's a very small loop and we just keep
hashtag
seeing the same
Zack
tweet?
Hashtag Zack Snyder's Solo 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
What did they say? Unleash the Snyder Cut? What is it?
Release.
Unleash?
I mean, unleash is more of an accurate depiction of what happened.
Yeah,
what
release,
plague have you unleashed on the planet?
Release the Solo 2 cut. I know it's out there. I heard they filmed it.
How about release the Lord and Miller cut?
It's just 45 minutes of like ad libs.
Hey, with what Lord and Miller have done lately in the animated space, I'll watch anything.
Keep it going.
No, I love them. They're great. Yeah. I just don't think that they. It's not like they finished the movie.
Right. Yeah. It's just clips of Lego Batman
poking his head in. Well, I would be excited for more of Emilia Clarke. I liked what they did with that character in the sense of who she was going to become, part of the criminal syndicate, the Crimson Dawn. Would have liked to have seen what that relationship between her and Darth Maul was going to be like on the big screen, and then how she continues to, you know, bash with Han Solo.
Maybe we will.
Could you just imagine, though, part of what is makes Han Solo who he is eventually having to fight his original love, or, you know, maybe kill her.
Yeah.
That's what heroic Disney style storytelling is about. Heroes killing their former loves, right?
Yeah, and she'd be like, "But we were a duo." And he goes, "But now I'm," and then title card. Oh, man. And we're like, "Wait, didn't we already get the answer?"
Yeah,
to
wait
this?
A second. Yeah, wait a second. It again?
Maybe it could be like They Killed Kenny, where it's like every movie, every solo movie, he gets a name.
Like, hey,
to have his name.
You there running by yourself? Don't run solo.
What kind of cups do you want, Solo?
Why are you leaving the band?
I'm going solo.
I'm going. Title card.
Well, like all right. Last bit of news, because this is a bit of a slow week, ooh, as you can tell from the droids, with the exception
the
of Bad Batch.
They say it's the heat. Now well, I know sorry, Luke
there,
was going
there
through.
There are two pieces of news left. We found out the writer to Rogue Squadron. Mr.
Yes.
Matthew Robinson, friend of the pod, if I can say, if that's not too bold.
Friend of the pod. Are you basing this off of my very brief experience playing Monster Hunter World?
Oh, no, no, no. I grew up with him. He's best friends. We know him very well.
Yeah, Matty Robinson, Matty Booms, as he's known. I did play Monster Hunter World very, very briefly with him online.
So he does have a lot of monster.
If that's not an in, I don't know what is.
He's got a lot of monster credits in his writing credits. So
yes,
that
wow.
Seems
he wrote
like
Monster
relevant.
Trucks. He wrote Love and Monsters, an underrated gem, I dare say. And he's writing Rogue Squadron.
Wow.
Do that's we think? Cool. I mean, so you know, what do we think so far? Patty Jenkins, Matthew Robinson, how are we feeling about Rogue Squadron?
I think it's going to be Top Gun with X-wings.
And hey, that sounds good to me. No, I think
and
it'll be
we,
good. I mean, like, I think
it.
That I think I, that I he's a huge thing. Fan, I'm sure, and Patty Jenkins is obviously a very good director, so it's like, I don't know, I'm looking forward to it. Now, is this like, will they call this like a video game adaptation, you think?
Oh, interesting.
Or is it just like, I don't think
I
they will, because there's too much of a stigma.
Yeah,
they'll just pull it straight from,
Here's a scoop. Here's an exclusive from IMDb. It says, plot kept under wraps. That's listed under storyline.
I think it'll be cool. I mean, I think who knows what the actual plot will be? Who cares? It's going to be people flying X-Wings and dogfights and stuff. I think it'll be cool.
Yeah, I'm into
it. If they don't
do
that, they'd be messing up. But, you know.
Do you think they'll, like, use techniques that, like, Jon Favreau was using by using, like, real models and stuff? Do you think that'll be part of it?
I bet they'll have the budget.
If it is, we'll be hearing about it real soon, and they won't stop talking about it until it's done.
Which, by the way, is there a Star Wars celebration this summer?
Oh, interesting.
Or is that pushed? I think that's pushed back to next year. Because they'll have Book of Boba Fett followed by Mandalorian.
Yeah, no, you're right. May 26th through 29th, 2022.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, they're going to need to have an event to start, you know, really drumming up that Book of Boba Fett excitement.
Yep. Can't wait.
We're getting there.
Out on the horizon. All right,
Tamora
brings us
Morrison
to
with all the kids going to malls and stuff. It'll be great. Doing
that
Simons.
Brings us to The Rising Storm, the second book in the High Republic adult. Ooh.
Wow.
Themes.
I remember when the first was out.
Well, yeah, it was one that we all just finished recently, right?
Here's a surprise, guys. I finished the new book, The Rising Storm.
No.
I'll wait until you're all done with it to talk about it. But who, buddy? Oh, man, you guys are in for a ride.
Wow.
Jeez Louise. You guys won't believe what happens in this book.
It sounds like one of those tweets where you're writing a review of a movie and at the end you say something like, awful.
No, I have nothing awful to say. What a thrill ride, a roller coaster. It's a book, and I read it all in one go. Didn't take me that long either. I read it on the way back from the bookstore.
That was yesterday, right?
It
was yesterday. I was riding a city bike. It was dangerous, but I got it done.
Well, in reality, you know, for those of us who are going to read it for real, The Rising Storm is by Kevin Scott. It comes right after the conclusion of Light of the Jedi. It is following the wake of the Great Hyperspace Disaster, which we're all familiar with the Legacy Run breaking apart in hyperspace, and the old Nile are out there rampaging. They're probably listening to some, what was it, Chris? Steampunk music? It wasn't steampunk.
I know. It had a name. I can't remember it now.
Jizzpunk?
Jizzpunk sounds about right. We'll find it and we'll come back to it. There was some sort of, was it like stormpunk? I don't remember.
Stormpunk sounds dope as hell. I love it.
We're riding the wave.
It's like new storm, N-U with two dots.
It's called Wreckpunk.
Wreckpunk.
That's it.
Thank you. All right, then. Well, Rising Storm. That brings us to The High Republic, Light of the Jedi, final five chapters. Guys, let's dig in.
I'm sorry. I had a heart out. I forgot to tell you guys about. We're going to have to get to it next week.
All right.
That'll be good because hashtag Where's Sam will be here.
Yeah.
He will?
I don't know if we get the answer to hashtag Where's Sam.
Yeah.
It's true. If somebody can help us with that and answer that for us.
He is dressed like Waldo.
I keep telling him not to do that. It makes it very difficult when I take my panoramas.
I say whenever someone's dressed like Waldo, they go missing.
What was Waldo's deal?
He won't listen. He loves his striped shirts.
Do you ever think Waldo may not have wanted to be found?
I'm thinking Waldo.
I'm saying
was possibly an ex-con, like an escaped convict.
I'm saying witness protection.
Yeah, I like witness protection. He's a good guy, Ryan.
How about when Waldo? First off, I'm surprised there has not been a Where's Waldo movie yet.
Oh my God, you're right. If they're going to do Big Clifford the Red Dog, they're getting Waldo out there.
I'm wondering as an adult if it'd be really easy to find Waldo. Though, based on when I'm looking for something in the cabinet, I'd guess not. But
that skill doesn't get easier.
But who were these instigators that were dressed just like Waldo but weren't Waldo? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What was that about?
Well, they started the cult of Waldo, and it got out of control, and it got away from him. And so he can't break from his norm. It's the only thing he has in his wardrobe.
And he had to, like, distance himself? Or he was like, listen, I don't align with their belief system.
Exactly. And so there's so many other ones that he can hide, and no one actually thinks he's the real Waldo.
Wow. This is the Where's Waldo movie.
Right?
I thought that's what Born Identity was based on. There's a Star Wars Where's the Wookiee Search and Find book. How about Where's Watto?
Now we're talking.
There you go.
Where's Watto?
Yeah, what's that guy doing?
A Star Wars story.
When are we writing? We should at least write a Star Wars short. Like, why not write a short?
Well, we've been teasing the Salacious Crumb short for years now.
I think let's get
to that. And I'm here to announce that once we're finished with The High Republic, Light of the Jedi,
there you go.
The Salacious Crumb reveal will happen.
You know,
we make a lot of jokes. I have had some of my most fun Star Wars moments in the last year with The High Republic. I really enjoy it.
And I can't wait to finish. I'm sorry that I have a heart out, but next week we'll talk about the last few chapters.
We'll get there. Guys, it's been half a year in of the droids, so like you say before, we can only go up for the next 6 months. So let's see what happens.
Hey, are we going to, Chris, you give me the math here. Are we closing 200 before the end of the calendar year?
All right, so what do we got? About 25 weeks. It might cut it close. We might have to do some doubles.
Ooh, all right. I think we have to do that.
Yeah, based on this episode, I think we should probably go to two a week.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get an email from Tim Cook telling us to pull our content down.
Well, that will do it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Enjoy reading Rising Storm of the High Republic and The Bad Batch for those of you who are all caught up. We will be back next week to talk all about what is sure to be a chock-a-block full episode of Star Wars News. What they wrote.
Annie?
You boys ready for the Rising Storm?
Wreckpunk.
Rising on the storm. Is that something?
That's something.
Close. Is that Wreckpunk?
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds about right.
It's the Rising Storm.